Australia's first purpose-built office space designed by the deaf, for the deaf, has just opened in Melbourne. The office is home to Expression Australia, which is the deaf and hard of hearing organisation, and the design is being called the benchmark for future social inclusion and environmentally and culturally safe projects. I spoke to CEO Nikki Long and asked her how important it was to have a workspace designed specifically for the hearing impaired.
Well, deaf and hard of hearing people, this is a really important step towards a more inclusive and safe working environment. It's also a really important step towards welcoming our deaf and hard of hearing community. The Disability Royal Commission that has been ongoing for the last couple of years here in Australia, one of the key findings was the importance of the cultural and cultural safety and in feelings of inclusion and sense of belonging. And the way in which that can occur is really going into an environment and looking around and seeing key features that are important to you as a deaf person.
So what are some of the big struggles in the workplace that deaf and hard of hearing people have?
There are a number of workplace modifications that have been evolving over the last couple of years, but really importantly is to bring people who are deaf and hard of hearing to the table at the start of any office design. If you're wanting to attract a diverse workforce and indeed people living with a disability to your workplace, And give people a feeling that this is a safe and inclusive workplace, you have them at the table from the start. That is a co-design process about finding places that you may have felt you really enjoyed working in before, gathering that information, and then looking at the five pillars of inclusive design. And across those five pillars of design, you'd find very interesting that there's 150 principles within them. We're talking things like, for deaf people, wide hallways to allow people to walk side by side and communicate using Auslan, clear lines of sight throughout buildings, curvatures are on walls, having horseshoe reception in any meeting areas, or having areas where there is sort of breakout areas to allow collaboration and group discussions if you think about people using Auslan. One of the things people seem to find very interesting is having light switches on the outside of all rooms to allow for what we call deaf knocking, because obviously people are deaf and knocking on a door may not be registered. So having lights on the outside of office doors that you can push and flicker a little bit like a doorbell.
Right, of course. Some of these things that we those people who don't struggle with hearing issues wouldn't even think about. When you talk about horseshoe reception area, what does that mean, and how does that help?
So when a person comes in to seek services with our organisation, often there's what I describe as sort of airport type seating in reception areas. So having a reception area where there is a horseshoe shape of chairs facing the reception area, facing the areas where people may be taken into client rooms or passageways to be able to see people coming. Because in other waiting room environments, someone will come out and call someone's name and then they know that they stand up and go with the person providing that support and service. In our instance, for the deaf person to be able to see the person they're seeing, or at least see a wave to say, please come and see me, and sometimes in Auslan, say the person's name, the line of sight is a lot clearer if it's a horseshoe design. The same in meeting rooms, to allow full access of sight to interpreters, to other people within the meeting, and so that people feel completely included. Theatre style or round tables are not necessarily conducive to ensuring visibility of sight for everyone at the table to see an interpreter or to see someone using Auslan. So the horseshoe shape is very important.
Okay, and just to clarify, excuse my ignorance here, Auslan is sign language, right?
It is Australian Sign Language, and it's a great point that you raise because within New Zealand, there is a New Zealand Sign Language. So for your audience, we should be talking about any sign language a deaf and hard of hearing person uses that is native to their country of origin.
Right. And now you also mentioned another design feature in this building of yours is curved walls. What does that enable?
It allows, again, that wonderful line of sight. There is a strong dependency on the sensory of sight and vision. So having curvature of walls allows good sight line of sight within the office environment. And it also is a great feature in terms of allowing light through spaces rather than having hard edges or what is more traditionally the square, sharper edges in office spaces.
Right. So how long has it taken from concept to completion and you know, gathering all the information in the design process?
Well, that is a really good question because there's been a lot of data and information really built up over many years. There's quite a few wonderful articles online that talk and refer to an organisation in the US called Gallaudet University. And they were one of the first places to really develop these concepts of a universal design to buildings and places where people come to learn, socialise and seek services. And universal design really is about access for everybody with a disability. But in particular in Gallaudet University, it is largely a deaf American Sign Language using campus, so a whole university for deaf people. And that has been a model of excellence. There's a couple of places also in Ireland and in Europe that have taken some of these design principles on as well. And slowly but surely, it is filtering through to other parts of the world. So as an organisation at Expression Australia, we've been discussing this for a few years about what our future space would look like, what would it need to include, who would we be providing, inverted commas, a home for. But the pointy end of the planning really has been about 18 months. We consulted community, we consulted our staff. We have over 50% deaf and hard of hearing staff here, and that's about 100 people that we have employed here who use Auslan and who understand the principles of providing deaf safe places. And with them, we brought in then a deaf architect, Sean, who was at the table with these discussions in focus groups with our staff, what were their needs for the service and the support, and then also with our community, taking them through what would it look like to make a place that would attract you to come and use our spaces, come and bring your community within the walls of our office environment. So putting all of that together and fast forward now to 18 months later, we have the first purpose-built to co-design deaf space, really from what we know in Australia.
It's incredible. But a lot of these design features that you've mentioned, they could actually be useful rolled out in a normal office building.
It most certainly. You know, we had a launch here yesterday and we had deaf, hard of hearing and hearing people here. We had people with other disabilities and instantly they had noticed all the design features, you know, including the lighting, the way in which we had our community hub designed and arranged, where the staging was. And you'll find it interesting, and I'm sure your listeners will as well, that, you know, our launch yesterday, we had five different types of screens. We had one with that was really quite large, a wall size where we had captions. We had two screens up the back that gave full access to the interpreters. And then we had a screen to the side for everybody within that arrangement to be able to get access to the voiceover or the Auslan, so that everyone in that room felt entirely included. And so, yes, you're right, this design in any other office places would actually work really well for everybody to feel like they can hear the meeting, see the meeting, and have the chance to interact.
So why aren't more office spaces designed like this? Is it, you know, cost? Has it cost more than a, say, typical office build?
I don't think it's cost more. It's probably parity. I think, it did take a lot more time to do that co-design and co-collaboration and the sense checking along the way. And but for good reason, I think we've got it right. Perhaps some people get carried away thinking that, you know, they know design, they know it looks beautiful. They think, oh, we'll just get the designers to do a really beautiful space. And then there's other people who have inherited a building that really isn't, you know, disability compliant, and they're trying to make use of it with the steps up the front. Do we now get a ramp? Is there an ability to put a lift in? So they're retrofitting after the fact. And I think increasingly with people's agenda to have greater diversity and inclusion within their workplace, it's becoming a key measurement of success of organisations. It's going on scorecards, in everyone's ESG profile, that people will start to look more closely at a welcoming, safe and inclusive workplace. And what does that mean to everybody, no matter what their identity is? And, you know, things are really important from what we've just described today in terms of the bones of the space, but also, you know, choices of artwork, colours of fabrics, carpet. It all adds up to a picture of whether this is really kind of a place that I would like to spend a lot of time in.
And of course, now you've got the blueprint, you've got the design. You're the first office in Australia that is built specifically for deaf and hard of hearing people. Are you going to share that design now and hope that many other office spaces change and incorporate these new design features?
Absolutely. We are inviting all sorts of groups through at the moment. Please come and have a tour. We've got one this Saturday and it is completely booked out from community members. And we're going to more openly invite other organisations in the disability sector. We obviously hope to have government, key collaborators and places we hope to encourage to have deaf employment into the future, places like big banks, will really, I think, find this very important to come and view what it takes to ensure that the onboarding and induction of deaf and hard of hearing people is done to this sort of standard. So we look forward to sharing this. As a community organisation, we exist for opportunity for deaf and hard of hearing people. And part of this is to share the work, to share the knowledge, to share the nearly 140 years of empowerment that we have been doing with others, so that in the hope that it provides greater opportunity for the people that we serve.
Mm. Nikki, apart from the physical elements, how has the office been designed with emotional well-being in mind?
Well, thank you for asking that, because one of the key features of the co-design process was allowing space for people to chill out. We deal with complex clients, and at times we have to disappoint people with not able to service some of their requests, particularly with the interpreter shortages throughout COVID. The demand most certainly increased, but unfortunately, the workforce hasn't grown quite as quickly, and the qualifications haven't been accessed as quickly as the demand. So our staff come here because we're a community organisation, and they come with a lot of heart and find it quite taxing when they can't deliver what our clients so desperately need, which is access and inclusion in day to day. So we actually have a wonderful room called the Reflection Room. We've got two big therapy pods in there. We have a recliner. We've got an aromatherapy unit set up and some yoga mats. And we are encouraging staff, and we're developing a culture that you can go in there, have a little nap, meditate, take some time out. We do have a 30-minute limit on the room per session, because obviously we don't want people going in there and falling asleep for the day. But we really do feel and encourage people to utilize that room to decompress. And then we've got a community area, a big staff area that has also been co-designed with the way in which with the furniture has been designed. It's curved. We have seating arrangements that allow access and interaction, and the staff area is fully visible to everybody as they come in to the space. So we don't have like a galley kitchen or anything like that. There's an opportunity to freely use Auslan and move around and interact and see everybody from one place. And it's an area that we encourage people to come in there and have social catch-ups.
Wonderful, Nikki. Well, congratulations again on this purpose-built facility. Let's hope a few New Zealand companies are listening and consider some of these amazing design features in their builds. Thank you so much for joining us on Sunday morning.
Thank you so much for having us, and looking forward to my trip in a couple of weeks' time.
Lovely. CEO of Deaf and Hard of Hearing Organisation Expression Australia, Nikki Long.